Probably 20 years ago, before cell phones and GPS, we all had maps like this in our cars. Little crazy for some of you who are younger to think that we looked at paper maps like pirates to figure out where we were going, but we used to do that in the old days. 20 years or so ago, my oldest son was playing basketball, junior high basketball, and in Childress, there was no such thing as you go across town to play the other team. It was always a two-hour drive wherever you're going, that far. And we took off one night to go, me and one of his friends and another dad. We thought we'd split the gas and make the trip, because you make the trip as a good dad, and you'd go watch your kid play 30 minutes after a four-hour round trip of basketball. But we got there and drove to Breckenridge, Texas, through all the back roads, everywhere else. Been there a lot of times, can get there pretty well without a whole lot of map, but I had one just in case. But on the way home in the dark, you probably guessed it, we missed two or three signs that I knew where we were. I got to Viston. We got to talking, and conversation was good. And I look up after a while of driving, and I thought, man, the lights of Vernon, Texas are brighter than I have ever seen. And then we saw a sign that said, "Welcome to Wichita Falls, Texas." And I thought, how in the world did we get to Wichita Falls, Texas? Because you think about it, for one, as a man, we've never been lost, you know. But somehow or another, it happened that night, right? And we literally went an hour out of the way the wrong direction because we had not been watching the signs. We didn't look at the map, and we did not see the signs. There are signs along the road as you go that remind you, hey, you're coming up here, your turn is over here, you need to make an exit. But we got to pay attention to those things. We understand that as a church, the Word of God, our Bible, is our roadmap. It is what we use to figure out where we're going and what we're doing. And as a church and as a body of believers, I love the fact that this is our map, that we want to stay as close to this as possible, that we want to know exactly how it's done. We want to follow that, and we want to be people of the book. But we also have times where we just need to look up every now and then and go, hey, are we on the right course? Are we headed in the right direction? And one of the things that I'm excited about is about a year and a half or so ago, Jay Jarboe was here to talk a little bit with a big group of people about having a new purpose or mission statement, that it's good to have a sign, something that just reminds you of who you are and where you're headed and what you're doing. And he began to work with a big group of people, and this big group of people began to cast ideas about who Sunset is and what their purpose is. And if somebody was to ask, why does Sunset exist? What is your purpose? What do you do? And for months and months and months, this group met. And ideas were given and visions were cast. And finally, about last October, at the last meeting, the last little drip was squeezed out of all of these ideas. And a purpose statement came forth that was designed by elders and church members and deacons and teachers and so many of you that participated in this. And the idea was that as a church, who we are, our sign that we need to look up to every now and then is to remind us, are we headed the right direction? Is we want to be a church that honors God, that loves people, and that shares Jesus. And you'll notice the last couple of weeks we have just kind of teased you with some signs that's been covered, because we didn't want you to know what it was until we were able to present the whole thing to you. And now if you'll look on both sides of our auditorium, we have kind of our new purpose statement, just kind of the direction that we want to go as a church. When somebody asks you, hey, tell me about Sunset, what do y'all do there? You can say, hey, we're a church that honors God. We love people, and we want to share Jesus. What a fantastic biblical goal for a church. And I am so excited to get to present this to you today. As we talk, and as you'll begin to see everywhere on bulletins and in emails and on cards, everywhere, this idea that we're a church that honors God and loves people and shares Jesus. And the neat thing is that everything that we do, we want to fall under the heading of one of these three statements. Meaning, whatever it is we're doing, does it fit what our purpose is? And so we stop to think about it. Trunk or treat, is that something that we, yes, that falls under sharing Jesus and loving people. That is something we want to do because our goal in trunk or treat is to share Jesus. Well, what about wow? Where would wow fall? Wow would fall under in the summer times when we meet together and we worship, honoring God. And so everything we participate in here, we want to fall under one of these three thoughts of we're a church that honors God, that loves people, and that shares Jesus. And I'm so excited about the direction that we're going to go on that. And I want to give you those three statements today and what that means a little bit from a biblical standpoint. So we're just going to start with honor God. That's first on the list right there. Honoring God. And it's got to be first, because if we don't honor God, the other two doesn't matter. Our purpose in what we have been created for is to honor God and to glorify God, that everything that we do honors God. And so it is the place where we start every time, every question that takes place, does this honor God? I'm amazed at just so many verses in the Bible that talk about who God is, that respect, that honor that he deserves. I think a little bit about the book of Revelation, and over and over and over, it talks about giving God honor. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, it says. I'm reminded that the very first thing that God ever told the Israelites, when he started saying, here's the rules, here's what I want from you, he said, number one, there will be no other God before me. You are to honor me. I'm reminded that in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it was Jesus that said, love God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. Our purpose as Christians, as God's created, is to honor God. Our purpose as a church is to honor God at all times. And if you're not doing what you were created for, you're not successful. Does that make sense? You do what you were created for, which was to honor God. Lee and I, on a trip not too long ago, got upgraded on a rental car to a really fancy car. We always just get whatever's the cheapest is out there, but they were just really nice that day, and they said, hey, you want a nice car? And we said, yeah, we'll take it. And it was one of those that had a sunroof from front to back. I mean, the whole top was just glass, and I just remember thinking, how cool would this be to own a car like this? Because it was a really neat car. And I thought to myself, this car was built to drive. That's what cars are for. You drive cars. How odd would it be for me to purchase a car like this? And because the roof comes off, I'll just take the top off the roof. I'll fill it full of dirt. And I've been needing some trees at my house. We'll get a pretty oak tree and we'll plant it right in the middle of that car. And it'll probably grow for a while. But people, you know what my neighbors would say, right? They'd go, what is this nut doing planting a tree in his car? And while that would be really cool for some people to think, man, you got to come see this car over here. That's not what the purpose of the car was created for. The purpose of the car was created to drive. And if it can't be driven, it's not successful, because it was created to drive. A pen, think about a pen. Some of you are following along, taking notes today. If a pen doesn't write, how can it be successful? It can't. If a camera can't take pictures, how can it be successful? It can't. It was created to take pictures. You were created to honor God. And if you don't, you're not being successful. It's not what you were created for. We as a church honor God. Let me share with you some ways that we do that. We can honor God by our obedience. The Bible teaches us that over and over and over. Now, there are a lot of people in our world that think that, hey, all God wants for us is for us to believe in him. And that's really a great place to start, but that's not the only thing God requires. God requires obedience, that we do what he says. It's more than just believing in him. It was Jesus that said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Honoring God means obeying God. We honor God with our time. You know, time is the most valuable thing that we have these days. It really is. We are busy people. We have become people who are busier and busier and busier. And I hope to talk about that someday because that's not very healthy. But we've gone from being a people who, including me, I used to change all the oil in my car. I changed all the oils because I'd save about $5. I had the time to do it. You know what? Today, I wouldn't even consider changing the oil in my car. I don't have time to do that. I'll pay somebody an extra $10 to do that so I don't have to mess with changing the oil in my car because we become a very busy people. But you know, despite our schedules, God says, I want you to give me your time. I want you to honor me with your time. Your time is valuable. Share your time with me. What that means, I need to spend time in prayer with God. I need to spend time reading my Bible. I need to spend time worshiping God. I know I'm preaching to the crowd. You're here this morning. Well done. I need to spend time with God. And if I'm not spending time with God, it's really hard to have a relationship with Him. Think about that for a second. For those of you in here who are married or even have family, just think about that. You are closest to those you spend time with. If all of a sudden you and your spouse didn't spend time together, you didn't see each other, it's really hard to have a good relationship if you never spend time with a person that you love. And here's God going, I need you to give me some of your time. And we need to be people that give it. I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound a little harsh, but it's very real, and I need to say it, okay? If you're one of those people who say, I really have a hard time finding time to read my Bible or to pray, I'm having a hard time finding time for God, then God is obviously not a priority in your life. Because we make time for anything that is important to us. Obviously, God is not that important. And nobody would ever say that. But I can promise you, if you got something that you want to do, it'll get on your schedule. You will make time for it. It may require you to get up early. It may require you to stay late. It may require you to cancel some other stuff. But when you have something that's important to you, you'll do it because it matters. And God goes, I want to be that person. We honor God also with our giving. Bible teaches that over and over and over. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. We should all strive to give according to our means. God gave His best. I believe He requires us to give our best, our first and our best. Meaning, I believe the Bible teaches us very clearly that we give our first. That means the first of every month, I sit down and go, here's what I'm giving to God. I don't wait till the end of the month to see if there's anything left. God says, I want to be a priority in your giving. We honor God with our giving. And it's important for us to be those kind of people, to give to God off the top. And maybe you're just going, hey, I am really struggling right now. Maybe it's $5, whatever it is, something needs to be given to God because that's honoring God with our wealth. We honor God with our mouth, with our bodies, with our hands, with our actions, with our words. I appreciated Vic in his prayer a while ago when he said, and he talked about, Lord, we honor you with all that we do, with all that we say, with how we act. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 15, it talks about the sacrifice of our mouth, the sacrifice of our hands. When you say good things about God, you are honoring God with your words. And you do that. You say good word things about God. Some of us have praised Him this morning and said good things about God. When you do good things to help people and do good deeds, it honors God. Let me give you one more. Your talents. The Bible says every person has talent. You have been given a special set of skills. I don't know what that is. Everybody's is different. But God expects you to use that for Him. There's no such thing as a no-talent person, as a person that just got no way, doesn't have any way to bless someone else. You have a way to bless someone, and God expects you to use that for His glory. To volunteer, to go, hey, I could do this. I could help teach a Bible class. I can help do this. I can be a greeter on Sundays. I can help plan communion and get cups ready, whatever it is. God expects you to use that talent. It honors Him when you do. What frustrates him, the Bible teaches us, is when you take that talent and you don't use it for him. You squander it, or you dig it and you put it in a hole and go, yeah, I don't really have a talent. We honor God in so many different ways. Be the person that honors God through these things. Let me give you number two up here. We're talking love. Love people. We honor God and we love people. People in the church, people outside of the church. They should know us by our love. That's what the Bible says. John chapter 13, verses 34 and verse 35, Jesus said, new commandment that I'm going to give you. Love others as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Notice what he does not say here. By going to church, people are going to know you're a Christian. Doesn't say that at all, although this is a great place to be. He doesn't say by taking communion on Sundays, people will know that you're my disciples. Doesn't say it. Doesn't say, hey, if you'll put a fish sticker on the back of your car, people will know. He says, by your love, by how you love other people. And I want us as a church to be the most loving church there is. I want us to be one of those churches that where people just go, Sunset Church, I know who they are. They love folks up there. They're always trying to bless people up there. That's what I would love. That's what God wants. He wants us to be a church that loves. And when we're talking loves on Sundays, can I just throw out here, I want to remind you, I say this two or three times, I'm going to continue to say it. I would love for you to participate in what I call the 3-minute rule. The 3-minute rule. Every Sunday when the closing prayer is done, the closing song is done, you got 3 minutes to go see someone you don't know before you go find somebody you do know. You're here going, I cannot wait to visit with so-and-so after church. I hadn't seen him all week long. That is wonderful, but the first 3 minutes when services are over, you take a second to find someone around you and go, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here today. Somebody you usually don't talk to. Because you know what that says? That says somebody loved me today. And I love that. We need to be people who are known by our love. Love is an action. It is not a feeling. So some ways that we love other people, by listening. Make some eye contact. Look up from your phone every now and then. Go have coffee with somebody and just go, hey, talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your world. Listen to them. What an amazing way to show someone you care about them by making eye contact and going, hey, let's spend a little bit of time and I just want to listen to you. By sharing what you have. You and I are so blessed with so much. And I know sometimes we buy into we're not really rich. We are very wealthy people. We have so much. I read this week that the average medium a day, meaning that on average in the world, $7.43 is about the average people make every day. I know you make a whole lot more than that. $7. I had expensive coffee in the airport yesterday that was as much as what most people spend in a day. Sometimes we talk about being broke. We're not broke. I visited with a young lady one time. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm telling my friend I can't go eat lunch with her. I am absolutely broke. And I said, you realize you're telling her by texting her on a $1,500 iPhone, right? You're not really broke. I'm not really broke. We have lots of stuff that we can share with other people. Did you know if you own a car, you're in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world? And we own sometimes more than one. All I want you to do to understand is that God has given us so much. Let's share some things that we have. Let somebody borrow your power tool. Let somebody borrow your vehicle. Whatever it is, share with someone else. Even if it's little. Several years ago, we had a guy's house in the community of Childress. His roof blew off on a bad day. I mean, he lost all of it. And I went over and talked to him, and we checked to see how big his house was. And I went down and found out how much it was going to cost to put a roof on. And we said, hey, yeah, go ahead and put it on our bill. We'll figure out a way to get this done. And I got on Facebook, and I sent a message, and I said, hey, here's a roof from a veteran in our community that I met that has no roof on his house, no shingles whatsoever. Would you help me raise the money and put a roof on his house? My first donation was a 19-year-old girl from our community sent me $5. She was a college student. She said, "This is all I've got, but I will share it to help somebody else." And I remember thinking, there's your woman who gave two mites. And she probably gave more than anybody else that day. We had the money raised within about 20 minutes. But I will never forget, I thought, I want to be more like Sierra, who was willing to go, "Take my $5. It's all I got in my account. You can have it." She was willing to share. Another way we love is by serving. Serving other people. By saying, "What can I do for you? How can I help you? Is there something I can do?" I love the fact that we've got different groups from this congregation of Sunset members and family members that have been going down to St. Benedict's, which is a place that feeds homeless people. And they've been feeding about every other month, helping down there just serve and fixing some food and going, "Hey, we've been blessed with a lot and we want to show love by serving someone else." What a great way to bless other people. Can I remind you that saved people serve people? That's something that Jesus taught us. How about the word encouraging? We love with encouragement. Give a word of encouragement to someone. Say something nice to someone. Tell someone they're special or valuable. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet my friend V.A. Cochran. He's 97. It's Libby German's dad. He's moved here from Hobbs. He's been an elder for a long time. I love the fact that whoever he meets, including me, every time I talk to him, he'll tell me, "You are so special." And I just think, I need to be like him. I need to give an encouraging word. Send a text to someone. Be kind to someone. Be kind. We learn that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Be kind. Love people inside and outside. We're running out of time, so let's look at the last one. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. That means we're going to take what we know about an awesome Savior and we're going to share it with the world. We're going to start in Lubbock, Texas, and we're going to spread it all over the world. We want to do mission work here. We want to do mission work there. We want to, wherever we go, we want to be sharing Jesus because Jesus is absolutely incredible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice what he says. You, this is talking to you, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. And notice the red here. Because you are this, you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. You know what he's saying? Because of who you are and how much God has blessed you, you should be saying good things about him. This is a great commission given by Peter. You should say, "I just can't help but talk about how good Jesus is to me." Can I tell you something that I love? I love my dad's apple pie. My dad makes incredible apple pie, every drop of it from scratch. The crust, he peels the green apples, he cuts them up, he knows exactly what he does. Never looks at a recipe. The apple pie is absolutely scrumptious. When it comes out of the oven, I'm always thinking, how big a piece can I get and not feel hoggish? Because I want all of it. And if you've never had it hot, it is hot. I would love to have a piece of my dad's apple pie today. It is absolutely incredible. And I would love nothing more than for you to try a piece of my dad's apple pie because I really think you would go, "Man, that's really good." Now, I want you to know something that I just did, okay? I want you to notice something I just did. I told you about something I absolutely love just now. I told you about my dad's apple pie. And I shared in less than 3 minutes of why I love it. And I was convincing enough, and I wasn't even trying, that I think that if I'd have said, "Hey, guess what? I have apple pie down here in the annex. Stop by and pick some up on your way out," you'd have said, "Grab me a piece of that." And I did all of that without saying to any of you, "Hey, if you don't try my dad's apple pie, you're going to go to hell." You see how easy it is sometimes just to share Jesus? Why don't we do Jesus that way? That we just go, "Hey, man, can I just tell you about something I really, really love? Jesus has been so good to me. He has given me a family and healthy kids. And he has given me whatever it is. He has blessed me spiritually. I am forgiven. I am saved. I'm going to get what I don't deserve, and that is heaven." We should be just like that, willing to say and introduce people to Jesus. It's really not that hard. Don't make it more complicated than it is. So I want to remind you, we want to honor God as a church. We want to love others, and we want to share Jesus in everything that we do. And I'm excited that you're going to start seeing this little theme everywhere on everything we do. And I need you to remember it. I need you to memorize it. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on. Sometime I'm going to walk up and I'm going, good morning, good to see you. Hey, tell me what our purpose statement is here at church. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot. So you better start memorizing it right now. Because somebody at your work's going to go, hey, what do you do down there at sunset? And you're going, what is it that we do? Now, you may be thinking, hey, that's three sentences. That's hard to write. They're two words each. You got this, okay? It's not that hard. We're going to honor God. We're going to love people. We're going to share Jesus. That's what we do as a church. And I want you to memorize it. And I want you to leave this building and go live it. Live it at work tomorrow. Live it at the restaurant where you go eat in a little while. Live it among all the people you go to school with tomorrow. Because God is a good God. I'm thankful for the people that have put in the time and effort to give us a new direction, a new sign that we can look up every now and then going, hey, we're going the right direction. We're honoring God here. We're loving people here. We're sharing Jesus here. If you're here this morning and we can pray for you in any way, we would be honored to do that during this song. If you're not a Christian, you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never been baptized, what a great day to do those things. Give Christ your life. If you have a need we can help you with this morning, would you come as we stand and sing this song?